Back to the Razzball Prospect Podcast. I'm Michael Halpern, here with Ralph Lifschitz. We have Willie Calhoun traded to the AL finally, Ahmad Rosario finally called up, Ozzy Albies called up, you know, the Sonny Gray to the Yankees trade, Anderson Espinosa, ton of shit happened once again since we've last talked. Maybe we should do these twice a week, but we both already have enough on our plates, I feel like. Ralph, what the hell's going on? I know you're going to the Red Sox game Friday. I know Devers is hitting homers. It's mayhem right now. We're in mayhem right now.
Yeah, there's so much going on. And I was gonna say two big things happened. No, little Ahmed Rosario finally got called up, and your boy, the love of your life, Willie Calhoun, was finally traded from the Dodgers, and he's now blocked again.
To be blocked with the team with a DH who has a DH, Shin-Soo Choo. That's who trades for him. But you know.
Of course.
He's still better off down the line in the AL. What, you got a cold over there?
Yeah, man.
I got a cold too. I got runny nose too. Is it allergy season though? I don't think it is.
I don't know what it is.
I think people just say it's allergy season whenever they want.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
It's a heavy ragweed content.
What's up?
There's a heavy ragweed, like, content, whatever the hell they call it. I don't know what that.
You're in your garage, though, so you're, like, in the elements. I don't have an excuse.
Yeah, I'm in the elements right now.
You have a frequent Razzball commenter over your house you're hanging out with, right?
Yeah, I do. I have Dr. Kenneth Noisewater in the background.
Nice. He's hanging out, and you guys are going to the Red Sox game. You're catching Yoan Moncada at Fenway, right?
We are, yeah. So I'm going to bring him Noise. He's my spiritual guru. He's a doctor of theology, so from St. Vincent College.
And, okay, that's interesting.
So he's my guru.
What's a doctor of theology do exactly? Like, what's that knowledge base?
He just guides me in my spiritual journey through life. I think everyone can have a guru like this.
He has a
greater understanding of all religions and gods and deities.
All right, I was saying, did he specialize in something, or is just all of it? It's everything?
No, he's a. He's a multi-diot.
That's awesome. That's a cool. I respect that. That's cool as hell. I like that a lot.
No, man, we're just hanging out here. We're going to a baseball game, obviously.
But you can just make up that he was a doctor in theology. They do. That's legit.
Yeah, he's a legit doctor.
Oh, that's legit. All right, I was like, all right, So let's start with Willie Calhoun. Obviously, we prayed for the trade to the AL to happen. It happened.
Yep.
Now it's just a matter of playing time. Once again, there really isn't a clear spot. I don't think you can expect steady at-bats for the rest of the year. You know, they're obviously going to want to give him a taste because they just traded Yu Darvish, obviously franchise, face of the franchise cornerstone. So they're going to want to show the fans what they have. We already talked about he's going to be a fan favorite. Fans are going to love him. I know a lot of Texas Ranger fans were actually angry with the trade I saw on Twitter. I thought it was a smart – I think John Daniels is smart. I know he doesn't make every move that's great, but Texas is consistently good. They scout well internationally. They do great in the draft. I like their Bubba Thompson pick this year. Like, I think they're a smart organization. Now, I mean, Dave Cameron, Fangraphs, wrote he loves Willie now. Everyone loves Willie now. Before, it was me, it was you, and that was like it. It was nothing else. But everyone loves Willie now.
We were like the first white kids to discover Eminem tapes in Detroit. We'd be like, yeah, we were listening to this guy 5 years before everybody else. You know, that's pretty much us with Willie Calhoun. Now that he's got Hollywood, he's gonna be everybody's favorite player. You know,
I guess we have to start not like he's mainstream now. We have to like not like him. Is that?
Oh no, I
is
think
that the Jewish move now.
We got to go big. He's gonna save baseball. He's coming up to save baseball. Who did I say that about last year? I think I said that about every prospect last year.
It's possible. Well, this baseball always complains that there's like there's not enough African Americans, not enough African Americans. Yeah, I think he's gonna blow up. I think this is what a lot they look for all the time. They're constantly saying they need more of those African American players, and here he is.
This is their token player they're gonna throw out there.
I don't think he's gonna be token. I think he's gonna be really good. And I agree. There should be. I don't know why there isn't more African American players going to baseball. Obviously because of money and stuff like that. There should be more. But Willie's the man. They're always saying where are the guys? He's one. You know, Kyle Lewis, another one. He's kind of been hurt though, but he's another one. I think there's gonna be a large influx coming up. I think whatever they've been doing.
Hunter Green, Royce Lewis.
Yeah, it seems like our top prospect lists have a bunch of African Americans. Doesn't really seem like Taylor there's Trammell. Not that many, right?
Yeah, Taylor Trammell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bubba, like I just mentioned, Bubba Thompson. I think there's a bunch coming up, so that problem hopefully will be solved.
Yeah, I think so too. So who else you want to talk? Do you want to talk Rosario a little bit?
Rosario's finally up too. What do you think? Where do you have him the rest of the way? What's your projection on him?
I think he can hit 280. You know, maybe 4 or 5 homers and maybe 5 or 6 steals. I think the steals, I think he could steal at will if he wanted to early on. I mean, he is fast. I think he actually had a triple last night, and I think he had the fastest first to third time.
I think he had a triple today, too.
Yeah. So he moves. I mean, you know, he's obviously very quick. He uses his wheels. I wonder if I'm being a little giving with the power number, but it's 4 or 5 homers in this day and age. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I think he could steal 5 to 6, like conservatively. And it wouldn't shock me if they just let him go and give him the green light. If he steals like 12 or 13, I think he could really do that. He's got that kind of speed.
I guess sometimes fast guys in the minors, they don't necessarily want to run. Like Rosario clearly knew he was going to be up soon. Everyone knows he's very fast. It's possible he didn't want to go all the time at risk of injury for literally no reason at all to go. So I could see him letting loose a little bit more in the majors. I know we did the Steamer projection thing last time. That was kind of fun. So I was looking at it. Steamer seems to have everyone hits around like 260, which I get. They're very conservative with the batting averages. And that, you know, Jeff Zimmerman research, obviously the guys with the great hit tools doesn't necessarily translate 100%. And of course, right off the bat, power kind of translates easier and so does speed. But Steamer has him 264. 2 homers, 4 steals, 34 games. Basically, just a decent shortstop who you could plug in and kind of get back end, like back top 12 production, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm higher on the batting average. I just think that he has the ability. This is a guy that had, you know, 0 split issues in the minors. I mean, he hit lefties better than he hit righties. And I think he hit lefties at like a 350 average. And then he hit righties at like a 320 average. So, I mean, he was hitting the ball hard off of everybody, and he's got sort of that high BABIP profile, as I sort of call it. He has the ability to go the other way, and he's really fast, and he's fast out the box. So that helps, you know. If you're able to you know, sort of his splits, if you actually look at opposite field versus his pull side, are nearly identical. Almost every single level. So if he continues to do that, like that's what Freddie Freeman does. That's like a guaranteed 300 hitter. And the fact that he has speed on top of it, he's going to beat out some outfields, you know, some infield singles and some things like that. I just think that 260 is overly conservative, but that's Steamer. So I get it, but I think he could bank on 280, and it wouldn't surprise me if this guy like is a legit 300 hitter right from the jump.
Yeah. That ability to go the other way is why I always mention Derek Jeter when I bring up his name, just because, you know, another guy has raw power, has raw speed, goes with the high batting averages. Maybe the raw power and raw speed doesn't show up as much in the pure numbers, but as a baseball player, he's going to be better in real life and fantasy, in my opinion, which is fine. That's like Francisco Lindor. Lindor, even with him better in real life and fantasy, they're still good fantasy players.
Yeah.
And they're still both in Rosario was in my top 10. Was he not in your top 10? Actually, he might not have.
Crap. I'll actually have to look right now. I have it like right
now. He was close
either way. Yeah, I think he was. I think he was like 7 or 8.
He was right in your mix.
He was 7. Yeah, he was 7. I mean, I'm high on Rosario because I think that he has an all-around skill set, and he's one of these guys that continues to get better at every level. And those guys typically become monsters in the majors, you know? I hope that he remains this profile and he doesn't sell out for power the way Francisco Lindor has sold out for power.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I don't think he will.
Lindor is like heavy pull side now. He's hitting everything in the air. I like Lindor better when he was like a 15, you know, homer guy, 20 steal guy with a 300 average, you know?
Yeah, he only did that. You know, Lindor wasn't that great of a hitter in the minors, and then like he was real great in the majors, and now he's kind of going for more power. So I don't know. Maybe he might not even be capable of keeping that up. It's possible that that wasn't even going to be in the mix. You know?
Yeah,
I understand him wanting to hit more homers.
Yeah, he's far from his prime too. For sure,
he's far from his prime too. I bet you he puts both together at some point. I bet you he figures it out. He's a real. Francisco Lindor, I was hearing him talk about hitting. He's a real smart dude. He like understands the art of hitting. I like him a lot. I'm definitely still really high on Lindor. Let's stick with called up prospects. We could talk. I mean, I feel like the trades have been talked about so much. You know, by the time we'll talk about the trade still. But let's go to Jesse Winker. He kind of interests me. Yeah, he interests me. For one of the biggest reasons, obviously, we've talked about Winker a lot for this whole podcast. He's doubled his homer total in 30 at-bats in the big leagues. He's got two homers in the big leagues in 30 at-bats, and he's got 30 plate attempts, and he's got 347 plate attempts in the minors this year with two homers. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know minors numbers are up too, but do you think this power, can he continue this? Or do you think he'll have enough power for him to be a top 100 overall fantasy player? You know,
if he can hit 15 homers over the course of a season, I think if you're in an OBP league or an OPS league, I think yes, easily he is. I think in like 5x5 roto, he's always going to be a little discounted because he doesn't steal a whole lot. And I don't think he's ever going to hit like 25 homers. I don't think he's that kind of a power hitter. But I think 15 is reasonable. I think that if he's finally recovered from the wrist injury, you know, he's finally back on track. He works counts. He sees pitches. You know, maybe he's just taking a little step forward. Maybe it's a little tweak that he's able to make. Maybe the balls are more juiced in the majors. I don't know. But I think if, like I said, if he doesn't have to be like a masher, but if he can hit like 15 homers, 16 homers a year, I think he'll be fine because the batting average is going to be so high. And I think he'll get some counting stats, you know. But I don't know. I still don't trust it just because he's had, you know, five homers over his last like 800 plate appearances, you know?
Yeah, I was hoping for a better. I was giving the benefit of the doubt on his power, but this year, the fact that it's just non-existent again, he's a big dude. He's got just a real easy swing. I mean, his contact and his plate approach is still elite. 13.3% K percentage, 11% walk percentage. So you know that's going to be there. He's like a real professional hitter. If he could – 15 homers puts him like in like the playable range, but not really a different – I feel like he's got to get to that 20-plus in order for it to – like a 300 hitter with 15 homers. I don't know. That's all right.
Average,
I guess that's it.
Average is scarce. Average is tough nowadays, man. All these guys that strike out. I don't feel like you get a lot of guys that hit 300, you know? So he could be like your fifth outfielder in like a 12-team roto league. Like I said, if it's an OBP or OPS league, I think he's easily like a top – he could easily be a top 25 outfielder, you know, just because he's so strong with his on-base percentage.
True. I mean, I think the reason why you don't get many of those guys is because in the major leagues, if you're not making hard contact, your average won't be that high regardless of your – you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like kind of like the Jose Peraza, like a great contact – even though Peraza's a little guy.
Yeah, he is. He makes a lot of ground ball contact.
Right. And Winker's a big dude. So I think there is going to be hard contact there. But yeah, when you mention those hitters, they just don't play that much because if you're not doing damage in the major leagues with everyone striking out, like it's hard to keep that job. But do you think he'll be better than like Piscotty developed more homers when he was in the majors and he was always a guy who was known as, you know, a smart hitter, but wasn't selling out for power. And then once he hit the majors, he did more. Do you think that is a playable option? Do you think he could be as good as Piscotty? What do you think Piscotty the rest of the way too? It's not like he's established yet.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably a good comp that, you know, maybe he could be sort of like what Piscotty is, but Piscotty's good. I don't think he's as bad as he's been this season, but you know, maybe he's just, I think he's just a fringe sort of outfielder. Like he's a worse version of Cole Calhoun or something, no?
So you're basically you're agreeing that if the power doesn't come, he's not it's that he's probably not gonna have much value at
No,
15 homers. I
I don't
mean,
think unless he's at a hot streak, he's ever going to be a guy that you draft and plan to win your league. If it's like a three outfielder league, I just don't think that. I think that he's like pretty much a borderline. Oh, he's a streamer in RCL leagues at this point. So yeah, I think he's kind of one of those guys.
We talked about Dom Smith last week, so Smith's power has been coming around, which is what
Yeah.
you want to see with these guys. What do you think? Even with Dominic Smith, I still see people doubting because he was in the PCL. Do you think he could get to? Is he like a 20 homer cap guy, or do you think he can get to 20? Like I kind of projected him to 22. I think
Okay.
like he'll squeak over 20. Where do you have him?
Yeah, I think that he could be a 25 homer guy at some point.
He's another big dude.
I think initially, yeah, I still think he could hit 20, maybe 25. And I think there's like an outside chance that he could become a 30 homer hitter. I mean, this guy could really hit. That was a chance that he falls in his face and he is, in fact, James, like good James Loney for a few years and kind of follows that career trajectory. That's totally possible. But one thing I wanted to say too, the PCL thing almost cracks me up at this point, no? Like the majors are the PCL. Like guys come from the PCL to the majors and hit more homers. Like Cody Bellinger like didn't slow down when he came to the majors from the PCL, So and he's
Yeah,
hitting
I'm with you.
in a pit and he's hitting every day in a pitcher's park. So, it's not like that's even any different. So yeah, I mean I think Smith has much higher upside than Jesse Winker.
I'm with you completely. Even PCL power numbers, I think the days of saying when they get to the majors that power is not going to play is over because it is going to the power is still playing up in them. Even with the minor league power numbers up, I think power is still playing up at the major league level. It's a new game. It's a new game with a new ball. I just saw a picture on Twitter with the new ball and the old ball, and it's just a different. Like it's a different baseball. They're playing with a different baseball, which is cool. I like it. I like Manfred. I like the new commissioner. He's from New York, so I guess maybe when I hear him talk, I'm like, all
You're a
right, that's,
homer.
yeah, I'm a homer for the commish. I don't know. I like him. I think he's trying to bring the game into the next century. He's, messing with the baseballs a little bit. I like it. I think baseball's on the right track. Do you
Me
know
too.
the what are like the television ratings this year compared to last year? Are they up?
No
You don't know
idea.
that.
I know the Home Run Derby did well, but I have no idea about any of the other stuff.
Yeah, I know Judge obviously is a superstar now. Baseball's always
Yeah.
looking for superstars, so I know Judge is. He's been dropping off though recently.
Yeah, he
You know,
has. The batting average is bad.
I hope he can keep it up with the Bellinger's kind of, I think, now taking over as the clear better one between them, definitely for the future.
Yeah, I think at this point, some people are starting to lean that way. I know Gray does, but I don't know if I'm still buying that because I still think Judge can hit for more average.
Oof, really? I mean, I would probably have him about the same. Really? So you're saying you would take Aaron Judge in a dynasty over Cody Bellinger? I'm
No,
definitely going
because
Bellinger.
Bellinger is going to have multi-position eligibility, and I like Bellinger better.
So you're still taking Bellinger.
I do like Bellinger better, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not like we've seen Judge for 103 games be a 300 hitter, And I mean,
Right, but
what's Bellinger's average at? He also walks a lot more than Bellinger does. Bellinger strikes out less. Is actually hit for a little bit more power, but his batting average is .272. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like you're splitting hairs there, but Bellinger was my guy, so I'm gonna go with Bellinger on that.
all right, so yeah, so you're
In a
still,
redraft next
I'm not going
year,
to talk you off, Judge.
In a redraft next year, I don't know. I mean, he's got the better ballpark too, Judge. So I know he's struggling though. He's had a really bad month.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not going to plan on talking you off, Judge. They're both great. All right, let's stick with the called up prospects. Let's go to Ozzie Albies. Again, steamer, kind of mediocre on him. 255, 306, 364, two homers, six steals in 45 games. Basically, just a steal guy. Steamer has him at. Do you? I know me and you both love him. Baseball America in their top 100, they were kind of saying now he's only going to be like a good player. They kind of backed off. How good he was going to be. Still for fantasy, those stolen bases are where it's at. So I feel like it doesn't change his fantasy value all that much. But is he like a 270 hitter? with 10, 11 homers and, you know, 25, 30 steals? Or is he a 290 hitter scoring 100 runs? You know what I mean? It's like that difference. Where do you have it? What do you think that ceiling is?
Yeah, I think a ceiling is definitely, this is a guy that could hit 300, steal, you know, 40 bags, and even hit, like, eventually develop some power, almost like Jose Altuve did. He's kind of similar in that way. He's still super young. His slugging percentages, I believe, have gone up each year in the minors. I have to check on this year, but I know that he made a big jump last year, and he was hitting for a little bit of power at some point. So I like Albies, and I think that there's sort of sneaky power in there. I think that, you know, he's definitely a better prospect than Jose Peraza was, and I think that they were similar sort of players in the Braves system, and a lot of people thought that, you know, he got rid of, Peraza in that initial deal, I think, with the Dodgers and, what was it, the Reds? No. Dodgers and was it a direct deal to the Dodgers? The Peraza deal.
It was to the Dodgers, and then the Dodgers, didn't the Dodgers have him for a minute?
Yeah, they had him for like half a year or so, and then they traded him. They traded him in the Todd Frazier deal. Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway, a lot of people at the time thought, well, will they have Albies? So he had 6 homers last year. He had 9 this year. I mean, his slugging percentage was .440, this year in AAA, and it was .467 last year in AA. Went up to AAA. Now he was a AAA last year as a 19-year-old. I mean, he's the youngest player in the majors right now, Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a solid player. I mean, he doesn't walk a ton, but enough, you know, 6 or 7% walk rate guy. I think that could tick up as he gets older. Doesn't strike out a lot. I mean, 20% or so, but so he will strike out some. But he's going to hit for a little bit of power and steal some bags. I think there's a chance for a really good average.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's been so young for the level that clearly the numbers are going to – so for just this year – I agree. He's extremely – he's not going to be – I want to get into Devers because Devers has been killing it. I want to get into where we have him. But he's 20 right now. So, like, I highly doubt his 20-year-old season. He's not a huge power hitter, even though his power is up. I don't think he's going to be a huge difference maker this year down the stretch. Probably just like a guy who's going to chip in for steals for you. In the future, I still love him, especially for fantasy. 15 homers, 30 steal guy, 280, something like that. Hits at the top of the order. You know, Atlanta's building a pretty good team out there too, with, you know, Freddie Freeman in the middle of the order. I don't think they're going to have like a weak lineup. It's a solid hitting environment. Yeah, I like Albies for sure. Are you taking, so like rest of this year, would you rather have Rosario or Albies? I think I'm taking Rosario. I think
on the show the other night, I said Rosario because I just think there's a little bit more power with Rosario. And Lance had actually said that he went to the numbers for Elvis Andrus for the rest of the season on the Player Rater. On Razzball, I used our Player Rater, and right. Those projections had Andrus at like 280, 5 homers, 5 steals, and he's like, I kind of think that's what Rosario would do, and I agree. I think that's actually exactly what Rosario would do. Where I think that there could be 10 to 15 steals in Albies potentially if he gets on base enough and hits, but there's much more risk with Albies than there is with Rosario, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Rosario is a shortstop too, so it's different positions. It's not the same position. Yeah, the Elvis Andrus comparison, Andrus comparison.
Albies is a shortstop in most formats still.
He can still play for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think he has shortstop eligibility on ESPN, and I think he does on Fantrax. Fantrax is ahead of the game, so they typically have like the second base position already in there. If that's when he comes up and plays the first game, they'll give it to him. You know,
yeah, he played shortstop 22 games last year, 14 this year. I guess that's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's not going to last, though. Maybe next year they'll still have it, too. But for the future, he's definitely going to be a second baseman.
Yeah, he's a middle infield guy next year. You know, you got to hope that he steals and he's not like Dansby.
Yeah. The other guy called up, Lucas Sims, who has kind of been forgotten. We haven't talked about him that much, even though we should have. I know last year I wrote about him in my rundowns early on, then he kind of got thrown up. He was like, you're blowing that nose over there. Yeah, it's fine. It's funny. So Sims, in the beginning of last year, he was like kind of a breakout guy. And then it just went downhill. And we haven't really talked about him that much, but we probably should have. 10.3 strikeouts per 9, 2.8 walks per 9, 115 innings pitched. He did give up 19 homers. But overall, he throws heat. I mean, I think he sits like 93 to 95. He could – he could reach 97, 98. I was looking at the velocity readings for his first start, though. They weren't that high. I don't even think he crossed 95, so that was just his major league debut. Good curveball. Got the changeup working, too, this year. I like Sims. With his strikeout upside, I think he's a definite pickup.
Yeah, I actually do like him a lot. I think that if you're like a deeper league, he's somebody to grab if he's not already owned. And, you know, he's got kind of loopy stuff. I watched it, and actually that's what our good friend Jack Full of Hayden texted me. He's like, yeah, he's got loopy curveball and sort of that sort of stuff. I was like, yeah, he's got kind of an old-school delivery too, you know. But he's been killing it, especially of late in AAA. So I don't see why there's any reason not to run him out there. You know, if the matchup is solid and, you know, he's pitching well.
Yeah, 100%. I would roll the dice. I mean, we talked, like, last podcast, we talked about Harrison Bader, Lewis Brinson. I know with Bader, we didn't expect him to stay up, and he did get sent right back down. Tyler O'Neill is now traded there to St. Louis. Looking at St. Louis's roster, the depth chart, the minor, they have a ton of outfielders. They have Dexter Fowler, Stephen Piscotty, Pham, Grichuk, Bader, Tyler O'Neill now. I have no idea. It's like an annoying logjam that you don't know how it's going to play out. They could use him as trade chips too. Maybe, you know, it's possible they'll keep wheeling and dealing next in the offseason, but can you count? Like, let's say you have Bader in your farm system. Forget about the rest of this year. Like next year, are you counting on him to be able to get you at bats and help the team? I don't know. There's no space.
There's got to be a big trade coming with that organization. They have so many. They have such a logjam there. They got to be looking to move some guys for some reason. You know.
Well, what do you think like they even go for? They're a pretty balanced organization. Yeah. They have a lot of pitchers. They have a lot of pitchers waiting to go too.
They don't have a lot of infielders.
Yeah, they got Randy Arozarena. Could use him. DeJong. Do you think DeJong, they can't play him at short? How much longer can DeJong play at shortstop?
I don't know. That's another question. That's what I mean. And then they have like Jed Jerko and, you know, they got rid of Adams, you know, the Carpenter. I don't know, man. I think that they have to be looking to move some of these outfielders because what are they going to do with all of them, you know? I assume they're going to move on from Grichuk. I think they're letting him play down the stretch here to you know, hopefully he gets right and they can get something for him. But I don't think there's much future value in Grichuk. I think he gets moved. I don't imagine they're going to move Fowler. I guess they're going to stick with him there. And I think ultimately Bader probably gets pushed out because they brought O'Neill into the organization. But you never know. I mean, these teams are weird. They could trade O'Neill, like, you know, 3 months. So who knows? But
problem is Bader's a perfect, and Bader should start. Bader's a perfect fourth outfielder because he could play some center field and he's got some pop. You know, an NL team needs a pinch hitter too. He's like a perfect outfielder. He's a perfect bench outfielder in the NL, which is annoying because I think he's a starter. And the other problem with those guys are I don't think their value, you know, there's a lot of outfielders around the league. I don't think they're going to be able to get a fair infielder trade. You know what I mean? It's going to have to be like a real downgrade. They'll kind of just get an infielder. Like who, what big time, I don't think any team's going to give a big time infielder for an outfielder. I just don't see that value right now.
Yeah, I don't know who would give up. We'd have to see. Everybody seems to have outfielders. And the crazy thing is like Tommy Pham, as old as he is at 29, he's still arbitration eligible until 2021. You know?
I know.
It's like these guys are controllable, you know? So that's really bad. That's really bad news.
Let's move on to Milwaukee. Lewis Brinson they called Broxton back up. Brinson hasn't played in 3 days. I guess he's probably going to get sent back down. He's another guy that next year is another guy where next year is really going to be the time. Braun, they might keep Braun now. Now that they're winning this year, they're on the rise. I don't know. Brinson's another one where it's like he's going to have to fight for playing time. It's not going to be given to him.
Yeah, and I think that Brinson probably ends up somewhere in the mix next year. I think they end up moving somebody, consolidating somehow, maybe to add another pitcher or, you know, upgrade, you know, somewhere in the infield because, like, Jonathan Villar has been more or less a bag of garbage. So I think some players could get moved, and I think Brinson eventually finds his way up. And it's too bad because he had that couple-game stretch where he had, like, back-to-back homers. And I was like, all right, here we go. He's going to start hitting again. I mean, this guy was hitting 400, you know, down in AAA from when he was sent down to when he was recalled. And I guess that's going to happen again. So I don't know. It's too bad with Brinson that he's not going to break through this year, but not everybody does in their first try. But he better next year. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of shine off of him because he is a little bit older for sort of how raw he was. He took a little bit longer in development for a guy that came into pro ball as a teenager, I believe.
Yeah, he went 0 for 12 after those two homers. But he's another one with the hit tool is raw. I know when people hear Moncada's name, they bring up Buxton, another raw hit tool guy with great tools. That's like Brinson's got that same risk. These guys
Moncada gets on base, and I want to tell you something from tonight, actually, that's happening right now. He's 0 for 0 with two walks against Rick Porcello, who walks like less than two batters a game.
Yeah, he's got a great plate approach.
Yeah, that's the difference between him and Buxton. That's why he does not get a full five Buxtons.
There is still strikeout risk, regardless of the Buxton comparison. Brinson's maybe less strikeout risk and more just hit tool risk in general. He had a strikeout problem earlier as well. But both those guys, yeah, that's the high risk, high reward with the power steel guys. It happens like that.
Love it. Hey, can I give you a breaking news update?
Yeah.
That ties into the beginning of the show?
Yeah.
We have breaking news. The first hit in the Rangers organization by Willie Calhoun is a homer.
Of course. Of course.
Boom, boom. Bring up Willie.
You know, rising up to the moment. This is what he should be called up already. I cannot wait till Willie gets called up. I think we're going to have to – I'm going to watch all of his at-bats. I'm going to have a special – something to alert me when Willie Calhoun's up. Is that a thing? Is there an alert when a favorite player's up? I don't think they have that yet.
No, I just have like 1,000 different people on Twitter that I have alerts come from, so I have to charge my phone 3 times a day during baseball season. That's not a joke.
No, Twitter is the biggest phone battery waster there is. Whenever I look at what used up the most of my battery on my phone, it's all Twitter.
That doesn't shock me. It does not shock me at all.
All right, let's talk about our boy Kenneth Cashman, rotoware.com, at RotoWare. First thing you got to do, go to at RotoWare, make a Twitter account if you don't have it, follow me and Ralph, obviously, but then go to at RotoWare, and he's giving away the t-shirts constantly. You just have to like, you just have to retweet. He's giving away, no joke, the highest quality t-shirt. I know I say it all the time. I don't want it to be diluted because it legitimately is. It feels great on your body. In the wash, the design does not go out, and the designs are all sick. He opened for KRS-One. He's a graphic designer in real life. He knows what he's doing. He's not just some guy who, you know, just like, yeah, let me just make some t-shirts. It's like he's got a background in this. Loves fantasy baseball. He's actually in first place in the monthly fan tracks. I saw him tweet that out. He's beaten Ralph. Is he still beating you in that?
Let me check. Let me check. Yeah, because I had been beating him for a while, and he beat me by like a half a point. So I got to look right now. I haven't looked all day. No, I'm back in first. We're tied, 96-96, but technically I'm listed above him. Should I take a screenshot of it and send it back to him on Twitter?
Yeah, start that up. Neck and neck with Ralph on the fan tracks thing. And if you don't get the freebie, even though it's very possible to win, it's not like a million, you should really give it a shot. If you don't get the freebie, he's giving everybody a Razzball 15% off. Promo code SAGNOFF, SAGNOF, and best shirts around. If any gift time that comes up, check that site out first because it's easy. It comes right to your mailbox. He ships fast, and it's an awesome shirt. Any kid's birthday, the little co-manager one is awesome.
My kids love it.
Ralph's kids love it, and that's where it's at. You want to do your kids wear that shirt a lot?
Yeah, my daughter was actually wearing it to school yesterday. My son was wearing his RotoWare shirt. He loves it. Thinks it's one of his most – he calls it – it's my comfy shirt, as he likes to call it. And I love my RotoGod shirt. I wear that everywhere, man. I love the RoboCop logo. My wife thinks it says RotoGoo, and she messes with me about it. But it's a really nice shirt, and it makes my pecs look excellent. That's important to me.
There you go. So like I said, at RotoWare – RotoWare.com, best shirts in the fantasy business. All right, back to prospects. All right, let's talk about some guys that could be called up in the future, help the team, who you could pick up now a lot of the big guys we've obviously discussed, the big thumpers, the offensive guys, but there's some interesting pitchers. Chicago White Sox, their rotation has been garbage. There's any number of guys they could get rid of. And Reynaldo Lopez has been killing it recently. His last seven starts, he's been dominating on the year. He's got 122 strikeouts and 116 innings pitched. Been solid, 3.65 ERA. Throws heat. I think he's going to be up very soon. And while he's not my favorite pitching prospect, and long term, I'm still worried that there's some relief risk there. It's worth it if you need a pitcher down the stretch who could strike guys out. So I would pick him up if you need a pitcher and you're losing out on all these prospects that are coming up. I think Lopez is a good pickup.
You know what? I really like his curveball too. His fastball is nasty. He's got a 70 grade fastball. Fastball. The command is okay. It could be a little wonky, you know, but he's not like a 4 or 5 kind of walk per nine guy. He's not like Tyler Glasnow or someone like that. But this has been his most consistent season, and the numbers bear it out. I mean, you know, his peripheral support, that 365, the 365 ERA. So, yeah, I mean, he's a fly ball guy, so that's a little bit of a worry. But he's got strikeout upside, and he's having a good year. He's 23 years old. You know, maybe he's taking a step forward. I didn't include him in my top 200 prospects because I don't like him very much, but I probably should have. He probably should have been 140. And I was just being a douche, and I wanted to include a bunch of like lower minors guys that I really fell in love with that I think could be top 100 players. So I guess that's why I didn't include him. But yeah, I mean, he's worth taking a gamble on, or even being a throw in if you still are able to make trades for the next week or so in your dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, he's like equal. He wasn't on my top 100 either, but he's equal value to like a back end top 100 pitcher. You know, Eric Fetty. Like, would you rather have him or Eric Fetty? I don't think it's a huge difference. Even though I do like Fetty, I don't think it's like a monster value difference.
I ranked Fetty much higher than Lopez, and I think that I would drop Fetty way out of, like, he's probably out of my top 100 now. And I think that Lopez is probably creeping toward the top 100. So I think they're probably about the same. I think I take Lopez just because I trust, they didn't screw with him. And the White Sox have probably developed more arms than the Nationals, no? I mean, Strasburg was like ready made. I feel like he didn't even really need to be in the minors, you know.
Yeah, he was one of those guys. He was one of those guys that's ready. He barely was in the minors. I think he breezed right through.
Yeah, and I'd be like Jordan Zimmermann, of course, but that was a while ago now. You know,
Gio Gonzalez was the A's.
Yeah. Gio Gonzalez was the A's, and I guess
They
messed with Roark. They messed with Giolito.
I was going to say, right. They messed up Giolito. That's the word with all the tinkering with their –
Lopez. They messed with Lopez, and he's been much better in this in the White Sox organization than he was, for at least for over a full season, in the Nationals organization.
I just don't get – their handling of Fetty. They moved him to a reliever where he was not that successful at, just to transition him back very quickly. And then I read an article where they claim like that's what their plan was. Their plan was to let him see how it felt to be a reliever. So if they needed him to be a reliever down the stretch, it wouldn't be a foreign concept to him. I don't know. It seems so ridiculous to me. Most teams will only do that when they're ready to call you up. They'll put you in the pen. They'll give you a week in the pen, and then they'll call you up. That gets you ready. They don't – not in the middle of the year. So odd to me. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe – you know, I think their horrible bullpen was maybe getting in their head and they were doing things to their top prospects, which are not helping.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me at all. I totally agree. Everything you said there, like 100% spot on. It was bizarre. And it was like, you don't have many starters left in your system. Why are you screwing with this guy? You know, you have a guy like
Tommy John surgery. Like, he's a Tommy John guy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and then you had a guy like A.J. Cole or whatever that I'm like, he's a reliever. Like, why aren't you using him? See what he can do, you know? I don't get it.
I'm with you. That organization makes me scratch my head. So, but let's stick with the White Sox. Lucas Giolito. We brought up Giolito. I think they're going to give him a shot. I mean, he's got a 4.95 ERA. He hasn't been better of late. He's been bad all year. I still think that they're going to – I think they're going to give him a shot in the rotation, but I wouldn't touch him. Personally,
no, I want nothing to do with Lucas Giolito anymore.
Is he adding? He was in my top 100 too. I almost won. Is he someone you mean?
Now I'm like, I don't even want him there because he was kind of good for like, a month.
He's still got good stuff. So maybe like next year he puts. But I don't know. It's like I want nothing to do with him. Kind of.
Yeah, well, I think his other he has like you know he's got a decent curveball. You know, decent. His fastball is okay, but I think it's kind of maxed out. I don't think it's getting any better. You know, and his slider is junk, and his changeup is just kind of fringy.
It was always him and Glasnow at the top. Glasnow, on the other hand, even though Glasnow struggled in the majors, he's been turning it on big time. He's got a 1.46 ERA, 0.99 WHIP, 13.7 strikeout per nine, and 3.9 walks per nine, which is down because his walks were crazy high last year. So it seems like he has improved this year. I think he's a good athlete. I remember on Twitter, I saw him dunking a basketball. It was pretty. He threw it down. What's up?
He's 6'8".
Yeah, he's 6'8". Oh, you're still saying he doesn't have to get up that high? He threw it. You can tell he was a good athlete, though. He threw it down. I always felt like the control will come. I like Glasnow over Giolito. I probably like him better than Ronaldo Lopez. I still like Glasnow. I still think Glasnow could be really, really good. You know, you look at a guy like Alex Mayer, who I used to like a lot, too. And he's kind of putting it together this year. Like, he's starting and he's real old. I hope it doesn't take Glasnow that long. But long term, I think Glasnow could be really good still. I'm still on Glasnow.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer with those big guys with nasty stuff. I mean, it took Max Scherzer a while to sort of figure it out, you know? So, you know, I don't think Tyler Glasnow is Max Scherzer by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, his numbers are so elite in AAA. I just think eventually it's going to translate. I think we saw that with Jose Berrios, and I think that you know there's just a tweak or something that needs to happen with Glasnow. He's going to take off. He's still only 23, and he is 6'8", and bigger guys typically take a little bit longer to get all the mechanics down. So I wouldn't give up on Glasnow yet if I had him, and if I was able to stash him because he's got 77 pro innings, so he's past his limits.
Would you rather have like Glasnow or Hader?
I'd rather have Hader. Because I've seen Hader have awesome innings in the majors, you know? I still love Josh Hader. I do. I really
same,
do.
I'm still on Hader. You know, similar control guy. How about
struck out Mike Trout, didn't he? Did you see that?
I didn't see the strikeout, but he did. He took Trout out.
I'm pretty sure he struck out Mike Trout, but I could be mistaken.
And nobody's been hitting him at all. No, I still love Hader. It's just a question of, you know, if they're going to leave him in the pen just because of how obviously and how easy the value will be there. Like he's clearly going to be a excellent pen option, or are they going to take the developmental lumps with him in the rotation? I really hope they give him a shot in the rotation, but I understand taking the easy way out. And word is out of Milwaukee, they still think he's a starter. So
yeah, hopefully. It was Bryce Harper, by the way, too. It was Bryce Harper.
Oh, okay. That kind of makes more sense to me.
Yeah, it does. But still, yeah. he struck out.
Still great. I have Hader on my dynasty team. I'm hoping he just doesn't go over that 50. If he stays below the 50 inning pitch limit, I just get another year of team control and I don't have to give him a contract.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at 20 now. He won't be an actual prospect next year because he'll be on the active roster for more than 40 days. He probably already has. But on the other hand, I don't think in you know leagues like ours where you know it just counts as 50 innings or whatever the number is, I don't think he'll surpass that. He's at 20 right now. He'd have to throw 30 more innings. That's a lot.
I hope not. But you know, if they get down the stretch and they're in the race, they start getting loose with those multi-inning appearances. It could. I hope it doesn't because he can do the multi-inning.
He's had a few. He had a three-inning appearance against Chicago.
And if he stops, it's kind of silly to say this. I mean, if he stops walking, the walking guys were probably helping keeping the innings limits down. He's been walking guys less. So if he continues to walk guys less, he might be able to whatever. I hope he doesn't go over the 50. But all right, well, how about like Luke Wilson or Tyler Glasnow?
I'm going to take
– Luke Weaver.
Yeah, I was going to say Luke Wilson, like the actor?
Luke Weaver.
I was like, is this a new pitcher I've never heard of? Who the hell is Luke Wilson? Luke Weaver or Tyler Glasnow? I think Weaver's safer, but I'd do that deal. As a Weaver owner, I would take on the risk of Glasnow. I would do that deal. I would take him over Weaver, but I think it is kind of close.
I think I'm taking Glasnow over Hader and Weaver. I still like Glasnow a lot. Ooh. I love Hader too. They're tight. That's kind of why I'm bringing him up. Definitely over Giolito and over Ronaldo Lopez, in my opinion, all these guys.
I agree with that ranking. Giolito's last, and I'll put Ronaldo Lopez above Giolito.
Yeah, all right, let's go to another guy who should be up soon, Cincinnati Reds rotation, Tyler Mahl, and his best season so far. Strikeout rate has dropped to AAA, and I knew it would. I knew he's not like a huge strikeout guy. Went from 9.2 at AA to 7.9 at AAA. But the ERA is still good at 2.76. I think he's just a solid, good overall hitter. He's going into a crap ballpark. But again, if you're desperate for a pitcher and you're looking for that next, prospect to come up who maybe could flash that upside more than expected, I think Mahl is another good one. I would go Lopez first, and then after that, I might go Molly or Mahl. What's it? It's probably pronounced Molly. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was Tyler Molly, but it might be Tyler Mahl.
It's probably Molly. It probably
depends how many syllables they want to have.
His choice.
Right? That's what it's all about.
I mean, I think people could just make up their own pronunciation of their last name. I'm pretty sure.
Now we all know that it's Devers, and it's awesome to just say Devers.
Yeah, I thought it was confusing. I guess other people were calling Devers. It starts getting mixed up.
Yeah, exactly.
I did think he was Devers. Devers is the normal way to pronounce, or at least my normal way to pronounce it.
Yeah, I did too, and then people started saying Devers a lot. So then I heard like somebody said Devers a lot. Some well known prospector that I listened to. And then it threw me completely for a loop. But I'm happy that it's Devers and he's here and he's being awesome. But on Mahl or Tyler Molly or Tyler Mahl, whatever he decides to call himself, he kind of reminds me of Kyle Hendricks. He's that kind of a guy where excellent control. He's going to throw a first pitch strike, get ahead in the count, and sort of pitch off of that. His stuff is better. His fastball is in the 90s. It's not like he has an 89-mile-per-hour fastball, 88-mile-per-hour fastball like Kyle Hendricks does. But just sort of similar output is what I expect. That he could be a low ERA guy. I think, sort of at worst, he'll keep it under 4, especially in the National League. But I think he's got the ability to, have a season where, he has a 250 to 270 sort of ERA with like 7 or 8 strikeouts and just sort of puts it together for a year or two. I don't see him being a future ace, but I think he could be a solid like 2, possibly 3. In fantasy, he's more like a 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's not super excited. But before we get to a few other hitters that I want to talk about, let's talk about Rafael Devers for a minute because I got an interesting question. Someone said to rank Devers, Benintendi, and Moncada. And obviously my top 100, I had Moncada first, then Robles, then Devers third. I think you also had Devers third. And we were saying – Even right after the ranking, we both trusted Devers to really be the best hitter out of the group. Neither of us put him first, though. But now I think he hit another bomb tonight. You were telling me before we started the podcast, he's looked just insane. The Red Sox have been moving him up the order. I thought he had the best chance to just be that supernatural young, just true phenom who's dominating, and he is. So at this point, I'd have Devers over Benintendi. I'd take him over Moncada. And then I guess we could start getting into some of the other, he's rolling right now. There's not many prospects I'd want, no prospects I'd want over Devers. And even some of those young guys, maybe like a Bregman, I prefer Devers, guys like that. He's rolling up to me. Where do you have him in that hierarchy?
Yeah, I think it's Devers at this point by a landslide. Then to me, it's Benintendi because he's a little bit safer. And from there, I think it's Moncada, and he worries me a little bit. But the upside is probably high as either of them. But I don't know. I'm starting to think that we sold Devers' ceiling short a little bit. That I think this is – he went the opposite way again. He's had a couple of monster homers, to the monster. If he's using the ballpark to the best of his ability that early on, wow. That speaks to, volumes about the sort of hitter that he is. Works counts. He looks like, I know somebody said it, and we've said it maybe before in terms of what his ceiling is. He's like a young Miguel Cabrera kind of a player, where Moncada obviously has that sort of like Mike Trout upside, just all those tools, can do everything. And Benintendi's just a little bit safer, that I think that he'll hit for more average. He's really struggled in July, but I think he'll hit for more average. I think, he'll be a 20 homer guy, and get you some steals and chip in too.
True. I mean, I guess why I ranked those other guys higher is because of the steals. Obviously, Moncada and Robles could bring 20-plus, 30-plus steals. But just as a pure hitter, I always thought, even like my projections that I do, I always had Devers just way better than him just as a stat line. And like as a real-life guy, because stolen bases help more in fantasy than real life, especially if you're not stealing at a good rate. But
Moncada gets 3 Buxtons.
You're giving him 3. So what do you give Brinson? See, I think Brinson might have 4 Buxtons.
3.75 Buxtons. Yeah, 4 Buxtons makes sense to me. I'll go with that.
To round
up. I would say Devers has a 1 Buxton, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a pretty small chance that he's not like at least a very solid fantasy player.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to some guys that could – well, I don't know if this guy's going to help. Reese Hoskins, we've obviously dedicated episodes to him. Ralph has celebrated victory on him in past podcast episodes. But Tommy Joseph has not gotten traded. Hoskins has cooled off a little bit in July. He had a 748 OPS. He has had 2 homers this month, though. It doesn't look – again, if he does get called up, it doesn't look like it's going to be – you know, it doesn't look like first base is going to be his. It looks like he'll be platooning at best or getting at bats. Is he a guy you would stash? Is he a guy only September only?
No, it stinks. Yeah, I think the Phillies have just – they're the worst team in baseball. And they're like, hey, we have no reason to force up Hoskins, so we're just going to let him destroy AAA. That's what they're letting him do. But I will say this. Everybody's coming around on Hoskins. You know, everyone loves Willie. Everybody loves Hoskins now, too. I read from the book – of Loggenhagen this week. Hoskins now has 24 homers and numbers on par with what he posted in Reading last year. I've got scout contacts putting 60s and 70s on his raw power, who rave about how consistently he's able to put the ball in the air while still avoiding strikeouts, and after 100 games, AAA pitching has had time to adjust to him and simply has not. Sounds like everything that we were saying about Hoskins like a year ago when he was in Double A, you know? And I'm glad to see that that Loggenhagen has come around on him.
When did he write that?
24th homer of the season, so I want to say that it was like a couple of weeks, like a week or so ago.
True.
Maybe last week. I think he's up to 28 homers, and I think he's had 4 homers in his last few games, and I'll check right now, but I know he had one last night. He might have even had 2 last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Hoskins. We're both. I saw he had 2 this month. I didn't see where they might have been in the same game.
Yeah, I think he had 2 last night, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, so he's better than Tommy Joseph right now. Yes. I think most people believe that, and they're just not going to play him, which is the thing I hate the most about baseball is that best players on the – obviously I brought this up. The best players in the organization – aren't even in the major league route. Tommy Joseph's in .256 with a .315 on base percentage as a first baseman in the juice ball era. He's got 16 homers in 100 games. Like, this isn't good. This is not that good for a first baseman. It's okay. It's okay for like a looks like an average. You know, it's okay for a regular hitting line. And Hoskins is older. I don't get it. I'm looking at Nick Williams stats too right now. He's been dropping fast. His numbers. Have been coming 0-5, 0-4, 1-4. I don't think Nick Williams was as good as he started off with. I know both of us hated his approach. Maybe we were too – I think in the offseason, I think I had him around 130, which actually right now I kind of like where I had him now. Maybe – so, like, would you rather have him or, like, some of these guys in your back 100? You know what I mean? Like, how far is this little – so we came up to the majors – he's been dropping off, and the average is coming down. But he's showing those skills, and he's been caught stealing twice. I don't know. It's not as impressive as it was in the beginning.
No, he's definitely dropped for me, but I don't know. I still think he's a top 50 fantasy prospect, you know?
Really? Top 50 you're giving him?
You saying Barreto?
No. I'm saying Nick Williams.
Oh, my God. Nick Williams? No. Nick Williams is still a back-end top 100 guy for me. Yeah, sorry. I totally spaced out for a second.
Yeah, it's fine. You were looking at the next guy on the outline.
Yeah, I was. I totally was. And I looked behind me for a second and didn't hear you introduce Nick Williams. That was an amazing podcasting that we just did there.
All right, well, go in. So you're with me on Nick Williams, back end top 100. You're not buying that hot start.
No, because I think he has the ability to do this. But wouldn't it be funny, though, if like his skill set just plays because he just makes such hard contact with these goofy baseballs that all of a sudden, like, Nick Williams is just like a guy that walks like 4% of the time but somehow still manages to hit 30 homers and like steal.
Yeah, he's going to have to hit 30 homers. Exactly. He's going to have to be like a Hunter Renfro type, 240 with 30 homers. He has the raw power in there, but I don't think I wouldn't bank on it. I still don't love Nick Williams. Maybe he's a guy like he breaks out a little later because he's got good talent. So maybe when he's 27, where the experience catches up with his raw talent, he breaks out. But like in the first couple of years of his career, I don't see him. I'd be concerned. I know our boy Tom Trudeau was selling him in the Devil's Rejects League for calling him like a top 20 prospect. So I guess prices vary on him.
Yeah, some people do really like him, and I know the guys at the Dynasty Guru love him. So, you know, everybody has different opinions on different players, you know, and I think you have a certain bias on a particular player. You like a particular skill set. You watched him. You saw how good he was, or maybe you saw how bad he was, like I did with Nick Williams, where he just wasn't playing well at the time, and you get an idea in your head and it sort of sticks with you. So maybe that's part of it, you know, and nobody's wrong. I mean, we have no idea what these guys, there's been players that we've been wrong about that have come up to the majors and guys, you know, that were good and bad and indifferent. So yeah, I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Because it's impossible to predict the future. I mean, Nick Williams as is right now is a talented baseball player who could hit the ball hard, but has horrible plate approach. He's not experienced at the plate. So like, can he make huge strides? Maybe, you know what I mean? No, it's impossible to know.
Yeah, and we value that. We value plate approach. So I think that's probably part of the bias too.
Very true. A guy who can take a walk, I like a lot. But how about going to Franklin Barreto? I know you were jumping the gun there.
Yeah, I don't know about Barreto, man. I feel like he's been dropping, but like I said, I still think he's a top 50 prospect. But you have to be a little bit concerned with, you know, what you saw on the major league level. He is not ready yet. He definitely needs to bake a little more. No,
I think so. I mean, the spike in the strikeouts, he's still only 21, and you know,
he's
it's not a horrible
right
year.
He's hitting right now in AAA.
Right, he's hitting. He's 21, so it's not like a write-off type of thing. But yeah, and Jed Lowrie wasn't traded, so he doesn't have a spot again down the stretch. I don't think you could count on him. Even if he did come up, he's probably going to kill your average. It seems like it to me.
Yeah, he's still a long-term stash in Dynasty Leagues, but I wouldn't give up yet. I would keep the faith.
All right, let's move into some other kind of lower minors news. I know the Anderson Espinoza out with Tommy John surgery is a bit old news, but we did not record the podcast in time last week to get to it. So let's talk about that now. It's like, once again, another flame-throwing teenage pitcher. I mean, he was already out for the year with a hurt elbow, but down with Tommy John. I was in my top 100. I was too aggressive. It's weird. I was like the low man on Anderson Espinoza for the past couple of years. Not so low, but like a little lower. And then this year I was going upside and I took the risk. I had him very high, but obviously that elbow injury, I should have taken that more serious. It's hard to predict. The injuries is hard to know. And Kyle Lewis is another one I was aggressive on with his injury. And word is he's hitting well, but word is the knee's not back. No. And these injuries are rough. And I know this has kind of been a scattered podcast. We didn't talk about the Yankees, the Sonny Gray trade. Oakland took on two guys with major injuries, Dustin Fowler and James Caprillion. So it's like, it's obviously he looked past the injuries, Billy Beane. He wanted the talent. So is it like, do you want the talent or the injury risk? Where are you at with this?
I think it depends from player to player, but I can see it from both sides. I mean, in some ways I like what Beane did. I don't like Caprillion at all. I just think Caprillion at this point, I don't know how you can depend on this guy to stay healthy, especially when it's arm injuries like this. He had the tick up in velocity when he first came into the professional baseball, and it just hasn't played all that well, but that makes me nervous. And, you know, I think Fowler was a freak thing. He's going to come back. Fowler's going to be fine. And they took on some risk even with Jorge Mateo, who's an exciting player. But, you know, I will take a chance, depending on what the injury is, far more likely to take a chance on an injured positional player than I am an injured pitcher. And with Espinoza, I had him 35 in my top 100. I'd probably drop him. Ugh, I do this once a week now. I'd probably drop him down to like, 75, 80 at this point. Because he's been out now. He's going to be 2 years, you know. He's been out for a year, and he's going to be out for another year with Tommy John, maybe plus. So it's going to be a while until we may see Anderson Espinoza until 2020. You know, that's pretty far off. I mean, his ETA has been pushed back significantly, at least by 2 years. So, yeah, I don't know. With Espinoza, I think I'd hold because you're not going to get great value. But I don't know if I could sneak him into a trade and get somebody to buy off on him, like a dumb Red Sox fan or something. Maybe I would.
Yeah, and those are two huge developmental years. I'm with you. So, I would look to trade him if he still has value. You know, if the guy you're trading with kind of scoffs and is like, I'm not going to give you much, forget it, hold him. But I think people will look at it as like, you know, like a buy low. I think it could be a buy low because, again, we can't look at we can't look at these guys' medicals. Not like if I looked at his MRI, I'd know what the hell I was looking at anyway. But we don't have the word on these guys. How bad is the elbow? Maybe is it a full we have no idea. So it's hard to guess these guys' injuries. I'd look to trade him too. I mean, he's got a long way to go. Even when he comes back, there's innings to build up. I definitely move. So you have him. So let's talk about him in relation to some of these guys coming up. So you have him. Would you rather have him or Ronaldo Lopez?
I'd rather have him than Ronaldo Lopez. Still, there's still more upside. I feel like you could get a Lopez from. You know, that's 3 years into the league. There's plenty of those guys floating around that you can get in a trade. Then I think Espinoza has more upside. And if you have a minor leagues where you can stash a guy like that, you have no problem stashing him because he's not going to hit his major league innings limit for another 2 or 3 years. And he can go up exponentially in terms of what his worth is if he comes back and pitches well. You know, let's see. We saw what happened with Walker Buehler. I mean, in less than a year, that guy has become a top 20 prospect, I think, for almost everybody.
Yeah, Cal Quantrill missed a lot of time, too, with his injury. And it's good to go slow. I mean, I don't know if it helps that it wasn't making it worse, obviously, before the surgery. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Would you rather have, like, Tyler Molly? I don't know. These are, like, safe guys. They're close. So I guess it's just kind of like what you're looking for.
No, I still don't think I'd rather have Molly because I think I wouldn't take Molly either.
Right, you wouldn't take either of these guys. The problem is neither of us are high on Lopez or Molly. Other publications
problem.
Are higher. Yes, I'd rather have Glass now. I'd rather have Glass now than Espinoza.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather have Glass now than Espinoza. Here, I got one for you because I know it's in our list. Would you rather have Adrian Morehan than Espinoza?
No, Morehan now.
Huh?
I'd rather have Morehan now.
Oh, my God. You did? And I'm totally spaced out there.
What happened? Morehan now. It's third time. What's going on? Are you right?
Yeah. Weren't we just talking about Anderson Espinoza? I just brought up Adrian Morehan. No?
Yeah, you just said, who would you rather have, Anderson Espinoza or Morehan? I said, I'd rather have Morehan now. What's going on? Is that not what you just asked me?
It turned into who's on first.
I'm not going crazy. You definitely said, would you rather have Espinoza?
I did, but I misheard you. And when you said Morehan now, I thought you said I'm on Morehan now. Like, I thought you were saying that, like, I was already talking about Morehan. And I'm like, am I in an alternate universe?
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, so it was our who's on first moment. I don't know if you want to edit that out.
This is our Scatterbrain podcast. I'd rather have – we are going to get to Morehan, who got promoted to full season ball and has been looking great. And I know our boy Cali Kusielak or Chris Kusielak – our guy on Twitter is absolutely in love with him. He's the fastball. Obviously, he's a lefty. The fastball's in the mid 90s. His stuff is crisp. His secondaries are advanced. He's only going higher and higher and higher. By the time the end of the year starts on off-season lists, I think he's going to be very high. If he's available in your league for any reason, it's past the trade deadline, and it's obviously a little too late. But he's a guy that could fly up lists fast and be one of the top pitching prospects in baseball pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he has like sort of that ability to rocket up the charts, so to speak. like like our oh my god, I've gone full on idiot.
All right, let's put this
for a second, dude. Seriously.
Let's put this podcast out of its misery. Let's just talk about Yusniel Diaz, Alex Jackson, both promoted to Double A. Jackson's still big strike, you know, 26% strikeout rate, 4.6 walk rate. Not great, but he's catching now a little bit. Diaz, 20 years old, solid numbers at High A, was the Cal League and a hitter friend, you know, hitter friendly ballpark. But he's a solid guy. I like Diaz a lot. You know, I think he could just be like a real good player. He hits the ball hard. He's a heady player at the plate. I like Diaz. Jackson, I'm still not having hope for. What do you got on these last two guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only reason I would own Jackson in a dynasty league is because it's like a two-catcher dynasty league, and he would have a little bit more value in that sort of a format. I still don't think he's great. He hasn't done anything at all in Double-A so far, but there's some power there. I mean, there's still some hope. I think he's a borderline top 100 guy just because he's got 30 homer pop from the catcher position. And as for Diaz, I don't know. I'm high on Diaz. Like I think that he could be a better version of like Alex Verdugo. What do you think about that?
I think Verdugo's hit tool is another level. I think it's another level than his, but I like Diaz a lot. You don't like Diaz better than Verdugo, do you?
Not right now. Not right now, but I could see it long term potentially.
I like Diaz a ton. I think he's like just a real solid player. He could hit like, you know, 280, 20 something homers, 10 steals, something like that. You know, just like a real good batting line. Verdugo has a chance to be really, really, really good with that. I mean, that strikeout rate, his age in AAA. I don't know. I still have Verdugo higher. I still got Verdugo on that.
Maybe I'm selling him short. Maybe I'm selling him a little.
Well, I know you're not. Short. You're not Verdugo's biggest fan. Neither am I, really. Just because the power is not that great. But I love his bat speed. Verdugo's impressed. Whenever I watch Verdugo, I'm always more impressed than the numbers. Because when you watch,
absolutely, he's a better real life player.
Right. Yeah. Very true. All right. So this was a little scattered, like I keep saying, a little all over the place. Maybe the plan was that great. It's late. You know, it's 9. We're doing this late. Ralph's got comfy.
I tried, man. I forgot Walker Buehler's name when I was talking about Adrian Morhan in like a moment of just like my brain just completely paused, because this is what happens when we record late at night. If you notice, like if you listen to those podcasts, I'm definitely not nearly as jacked up. I'm not drinking coffee. And my nose is kind of stuffed. So
yeah, both our noses are stuffed. I called Luke Weaver, Luke Wilson.
Yeah, it was fun. Oh, it's great. Beautiful. I hope this isn't the first one you listen to.
Go back to if this is, you're not making it this far anyway. But thank you guys. Thank you for all our listeners. Thank you for the support. This was the Razzball Fantasy Prospect Podcast. I'm Michael Halpern, Ralph Lifshitz. Thank you to RotoWare. Thank you to Zencaster. I'm mixing up my outs with the baseball podcast with Grant in this one. You can find me, imaginarybrickwall.com. Find me on Twitter, at Michael C. Halpern, at ImaginaryBrickW. Every Tuesday, podcast with Gray, fantasy baseball. I feel like everyone who's made it this far, you guys know the deal. You know where I'm at. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I'm scatterbrained. Ralph Lifshitz, the prospect Jesus. You can find me on Twitter at Ralph Lifshitz, BB. That's LIFSHITZBB. I got a bunch of articles on Razzball during the week. You can find me there, obviously. And I have my Fantrax show on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Mr. Andy Singleton. We've had a bunch of good guests on. We had Lance on the last week. We had Paul Spohr on recently, Justin Mason as well. I know he gave us a shout out on Twitter, I think because we were hating on his Dansby Swanson opinion, or at least I was. So if you're listening again, Justin, what's up, man? You get another shout out, man. I love you.
Friends anyway, of Fantasy Benefits. Check out Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Well, yeah.
Exactly.
We love Justin. We love Matt. You know, they know that.
Exactly. We love RotoWare. Peace.